Tunisia is the country that gave birth to the so-called Arab Spring. It's the wave of political protests in 2010 and 11 that sparked hopes for a new era of representative government. Next Sunday, those hopes will be in evidence as the country votes to elect a new parliament.
Much has been made of the role of the internet in Tunisia's rapid political change. Social media powered the wide distribution of cell phone videos showing a crackdown against the demonstrators, and that in turn fueled more protests, toppling the country's dictator Zine El Abidine Ben Ali. As NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reported from the Tunisian capital at the time,
Tunisians say they're proud that the world's eyes are upon them and for being the first country to tweet out a tyrant.
After that, people expressed big aspirations for a technology sector that would bring investment and deliver jobs. They're still waiting. While tech fueled a fast political revolution, it seems it will take much longer to revolutionize the economy. NPR tech reporter Arthi Shahani traveled to North Africa.
Tunis feels like a capital city that's on the move. I'm in a yellow taxi cab swerving through packed streets en route to a Microsoft office to meet the shy son of a subsistence farmer.
Director technique for Microsoft Djerba.
25-year-old Moaz Rajbi taught himself how to make tractors and industrial refrigerators smart, connected to the internet and data-driven. And he did it from a tiny plot of land in the south of the country with just a computer. Now, with backing from America's tech sector, Rajbi wants to make money and create jobs.
Here to be surrounded by experienced people, and actually it's the elite of Tunis in this field, will enable me to find my way in this business.
Is it different from where you started your business?
Very different. It's very different.
Looking out at the waterfront, he has ambition in his eye. But Moaz Rajbi also faces a big problem, one that existed in the days of the dictator and that persists. Tunisia's currency, the dinar, is effectively trapped inside the country. The central bank has to approve every international transaction for software, for hardware, for basic business essentials. Rajbi explains.
For example, I have a command.
Let's say we are buying a machine which measures temperature during summer for a product. You will get your machine after the summer, and the clients in general lose trust in us.
Across the political spectrum, Tunisia's new leaders say technology will create jobs for the youth. Internet businesses are cheap, the perfect fit for a country with lots of human capital and very little cash. Yet today, in 2014, you still can't make an online payment on Amazon or Apple. Tunisians can't receive foreign payments through PayPal. And investors with euros and dollars who want to support Tunisian startups can't come in.
I refer you to the 23 years of our recent history. It was 23 years of full control of everything over everything.
Tufek Jelassi is the government's minister in charge of information and communication technologies.
Many decision makers grew up in that context, worked in that context, are still today in key positions that were used to that full control mechanism behavior.
Jelassi says just because the revolution changed the leadership doesn't mean it changed the guarded culture. The currency issue is just one symptom of a bigger problem.
Now to lose that control or ease up that control, it's not something that comes in that easily.
The young people in this country feel hope and abject fear. I hop over to Esprit, a private university that's under construction. It's expanding. Samsung and BlackBerry are building an incubator for students to do tech projects. As workers hammer away at the concrete, I ask student Dura Mansouri the obvious question for an American watching Tunisia. How's the job situation?
But they'll say, nothing is changed.
Actually, nothing really changed. It's the same. But the problem that you can find a job, but it's not really what you want to do, and you find yourself doing other things that you're what you studied for.
She picked up the subject cloud computing because she hears that'll get her work. But she's graduating this year and still isn't sure what will happen. Her favorite smartphone app helps her cope with the uncertainty.
Candy Crush to play. When I have stress, I play with Candy Crush.
Some things are global. There is a generation of young Tunisians who thrive on the stress, expatriates who flooded back to the country after the dictator left to see what they could build for themselves.
I am Elias Jeribi. I'm co-founder of two startups, Linkau and Codrus Cloud. Before that, I worked for McKinsey in France, McKinsey & Company, consulting company. And I worked for 1 year with the Tunisian government in 2011, just after the revolution.
Elias Jeribi has lived in Paris and the U.S. He drinks his coffee with three sugars, like the locals do. But he's familiar enough with my hometown, San Francisco, to make fun of how I take my latte.
No fat milk, no sugar.
And every line of this 32-year-old's resume tells a different part of Tunisia's revolutionary story. In 2011, when Ben Ali was still in power, Jeribi was part of the McKinsey team that proposed a 10-year technology plan.
Transforming Tunisia to India for French-speaking countries. It's an offshoring strategy project.
To make Tunis like Bangalore. Yes.
Exactly. And for French, because we cannot compete with Bangalore in English.
While some Tunisian technophiles want to replicate Silicon Valley, Jeribi doesn't think that's realistic. He's now trying to build out his technology vision on a much smaller scale, making mobile apps for French chocolatiers and Swiss retailers. He says the dinar currency stranglehold is hurting his business too.
Basically what we are doing, because we are afraid of having $1 million go abroad, we are missing hundreds of million dollars going inside the country. And this is a very bad calculation the government is doing.
Jeribi says he plans to stay in Tunisia, at least for a while, and try to help his country get the math right. Arthi Shahani, NPR News.